You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio. Coming up after we get today's bingo numbers, we will have Minister Dara Cleary on. Now, Minister Cleary is the Minister for Social Protection, Rural Community Development and the Gaeltacht. The Pension Auto Enrolment Scheme is due to launch in January 2026. It's called My Future Fund. Now, maybe you are an employee with some questions in relation to it, or maybe you are an employer. Get them into us, 086 60 25,000. We'll be talking through with the Minister exactly what the scheme is, its level of compulsion, etc., etc. I firmly believe, says the listener, that people who are on social welfare should be given or should not be given any form of loan. If the government is giving them assistance to live, how can they repay a loan? I mean, any loan that anyone receives should be in line with their ability to pay. But, you know, certainly these money loan sharks, or even in fact these payday money lenders, they don't really care. But then again, you know, people do need access to emergency money at times. So I think I know where you're coming from. But hi, Greg. I'm hoping you can put this out there. This is actually an interesting one. I'll come back to that and play that just before the break. Ireland's west coast is 200 miles out. It's not international waters. Six Navy vessels were involved. The Irish Navy were present. The James Bernard Shaw was present. Thanks for that. Okay, wasn't aware. I didn't see reference to that. Thank you for the clarification. My daughter has a medical condition and is now in Letterkenny University Hospital over this problem. No warning. Who is responsible? Somebody has to walk for the mess. My daughter has to push, had to push her catheter out every day as she couldn't wash it out. She's now in hospital with an infection. The water's still not back today. The counsellors are all giving us different updates. Yeah, there does seem to be some different updates out there. I wonder, are there multiple problems? I must check the reference numbers. I must check the reference numbers and see, do they? I certainly don't want to contribute to that. Right, okay. So is your name Siobhan? And were you married in 2017? Well, it's very possible that you were in the Ballybuffet, Stranola area on the weekend, because a young lad found a wedding ring in the park in Stranola on Saturday. Now, the wedding band has the name Siobhan on it and the date is 2017. So I'm presuming that's the date, the year Siobhan got married. Now, hopefully she didn't take it off and fling it and maybe doesn't want it found, but I presume she does. So this is one of those things, you know you've lost it, right? We know where it is. So if your name is Siobhan and you lost your ring, it's a wedding band and has your name on it and the year 2017, please get in touch with us and we'll pass the number on for the person that has it, because a young lad, he could have been 50, I don't know what age he is, but anyway, a young fella, I'm going to presume, found it and they have it and they want to get it back to you. 086 60 25,000, if that's yours and we can reconnect you with it. Right, let's take this break and then, as I say, Minister Dara Cleary will be talking about My Future Fund. That's coming up next. Now, you're welcome back to the programme and we're joined on it now by Minister Dara Cleary, who's Minister for Social Protection, Rural and Community Development and the Gaeltacht. Good morning to you, Minister. Thanks so much for your time.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing good. Now, we are on the brink of the My Future Fund being launched, and it feels like we've been talking about this for a long time, Minister.
Yeah, Greg, we've been talking about it for nearly 20 years. We're the last country in the OECD to introduce what's known as auto-enrollment. My Future Fund would be the brand name for it. And basically, Greg, what it is that there are about 750,000 people in the country, including, we estimate, around 19,000 in Donegal, who have no pension provision for when they finish work. That would mean that they would be entirely dependent on the state contributory pension or on the non-contributory. But the state contributory pension is about 16,000 euro a year. And the average industrial wage at the moment is between 45 and 46,000. So that's one big drop that people would potentially have to take if they've no pension provision. So by introducing auto-enrolment, we're going to make that drop, that change from working into retirement a lot easier for those 750,000 people. It begins on the 1st of January, and it's actually going to be driven and headquartered out of Letterkenny. My Future Fund is being based through NERSA, the National Auto Enrollment Retirement Savings Authority. They will be headquartered in Letterkenny, and our partners, Tata Consulting, are also based out of Letterkenny. So an awful lot of people in Letterkenny are working very hard on this project as we speak, and just I want to thank all of them for their work.
Of course, sorry, Minister. Just in relation to that, obviously, the launch is very near to hand. Is the software ready to go, the back end, the supports for enrollees, SMEs, bigger companies, etc.? Is that all ready to go?
Yes, I being assured that everything is ready. It's being all that back office work has been done from TCS and Letterkenny. Our team in the Department of Social Protection have been working incredibly hard liaising with the TCS team. We've established NERSA, and they're going to take over the running of My Future Fund. They will be independent. They'll be independent of government, and they'll have the day-to-day running of it in connection with TCS. NERSA, as I said, are going to be headquartered in Letterkenny. So the first big event, Greg, will be in December, in the first week of December. The My Future Fund app will go live for employers. So what we want to do, and we've been dealing and talking a lot to employers on this since 2018, since we started doing the consultation, they want to make it as administratively simple as possible. And through the work at NERSA, we're going to do that. So from the 1st of December, employers would have to register their details on the employers portal on My Future Fund. That they then, those details will be connected with revenue, and they then will enable the deductions to begin and the contributions. So basically, for every €3 an employee pays in, an employer pays one, and pays €3, and the government pays €1. So for, as an employee, Greg, somebody who's giving €3 gets €7 to go into their retirement fund. You know, it's a pretty good offer. Employers are making a big contribution. I acknowledge that. But a focus for me is to make it as administratively as easy as possible. There are never going to be problems, and I'm going to be working through those with people. And we'll have a two-way conversation around that over the coming days and weeks.
But what about those in employers that are, you know, in certain areas of business or what have you, you know, and margins are already, you know, really quite tight? You know, even with a medium-sized workforce, this could be, you know, a huge extra burden on them, as well as everything else, you know, the input costs, electricity costs, minimum wage increases, etc. So what if this is the tipping point for certain businesses? We don't want to see that.
No, we don't want to see that, and that's why we're introducing it in a very much a phased way, Greg. For the first 3 years, the employer contribution and the employee contribution would be 1.5% of gross pay. That then would increase to 3 between years 4 and 6 to 4.5 after that and up to 6. So I'm phasing that in deliberately, starting small. As I said, we've been dealing with this and planning for this since 2018, and especially over the course since the legislation was passed. Over the last 2 years or so, there's been a lot of notice that this was coming on board. It was due to begin in September. I put it back to January, so that we could align it with the tax year to reduce the administration costs and the administration uncertainty. And also, you know, we do have to look and care for employees post-retirement. And if the more income they have, the more money they will have to spend in local economies. So there is a long-term gain for this, for business as well, because they will have customers with more financial security in retirement. And that's something that we all need.
I mean, it has been, to an extent, I think, cleverly designed in that I believe you can opt out after 6 months. I presume the idea being that after the 6 months, people might say, right, I can absorb this and potentially then see the benefit of this down the line. So it normalizes it rather than, you know, that big bad P word that some people might see as in terms of their current expenditure.
Yes, you know, that's a pretty fair explanation of things. Look, I know people are under pressure. I know incomes are under pressure and bills are very big. But equally, what I'm also looking to is your retirement. Is that, you know, if you take a drop on income of up to 30, 40, 50,000 euro, that pressure will continue in retirement. I don't want that for people. People are working hard enough and they need to be able to have a comfortable retirement. So that's the first thing. And secondly, you know, there will be times in life, you know, where you have the chance to opt out, but you're automatically re-enrolled after 2 years. So we try to make it flexible for employees as well. But ultimately, you know, it is difficult at the moment. I've absolutely no doubt. I get that totally. But equally, what we're trying to do is look to a future and look to making that future a little bit easier. My future fund isn't going to answer everybody's post-retirement challenges, Greg, and I think I need to be very clear on that. But our international experience shows that it goes a long way to doing that. Because we are so late in introducing it, as I said, the last country in the OECD, we've been able to look at what has worked really well in other countries, learn what has worked well, but also learn what hasn't worked.
And what happens in other countries, Dara, is it that, you know, people enroll in the auto-enrollment scheme and then maybe transition to a private scheme? They start understanding pensions and shop around a little bit, or maybe move, or do you find, or have we found that people who are auto-enrolled in this type of scheme tend to stick with it?
So the general experience is that they stick with it. Where the schemes are badly designed, Greg, people have suspended contributions, and we've looked at that to understand why. And what we've done here is, you know, when you're the investment people behind this will give you a range of options in terms of where, how your money is invested. It can go to high risk, it can go to medium risk, it can go to low risk. Generally, as people get older, they tend to migrate towards low risk investments. But, you know, if you look just to, you know, somebody on 35,000 euro a year, they'll be paying 10 euro a week. And depending on what age they join the scheme, they will have a potentially very healthy retirement fund. You know, that's potentially 5,000 euro a year put into the fund, then that gets interest in terms of the investment portfolio. And also, Greg, we will, as time goes on, NIRSA will be looking at how to make it more attractive and more convenient for people to put extra money in if they come on extra money at any point in their life, that there will be options. But that will be a matter ultimately for NIRSA down the line.
Just a few questions, but the basics first. You know, who is enrolled in this? How many hours a week do you have to work? What age do you have to be? What does your income, what's the income need to be?
It's anybody between the ages of 23 and 60. It's anybody who's earning more than 20,000 euro a year. And that could be, Greg, across multiple employment. So you could have people with 2, 3, or 4 jobs earning that. They will be enrolled.
But there is a problem there. That's not...
doesn't already have a pension, yeah, well, it's important.
Yeah, what I was going to say there is because I've been contacted by people who have 2 to 3 jobs. They have a private pension with one employee, but aren't enrolled into this because of that private pension with the one employee. So they're not getting the full bang for the buck.
So if they have a private pension already, they're getting tax relief on that pension. If that a private pension isn't connected to their business, they can't get involved, but it isn't connected to their employer, rather. But if it is, if that private pension is connected to their employer, they can't get involved. But if it isn't, they will be, and they will be automatically enrolled. What we're doing here is if you do not have a pension through your payroll, that's paid for through your payroll, and that's where we're getting the figure of about 750,000 people. So just to reiterate, if you're between 23 and 60, if you're earning more than 20,000 a year, and if you do not have a pension that's already linked to your payroll, you will be automatically enrolled from the 1st of January.
So a caller says, I'm already paying a pension via PRSA. Am I exempt from this scheme?
If it's not connected to your employer or to your work, you will be included in the scheme.
So will the USC be cancelled for the employers who have to pay into this as well, asks another listener.
No, the USC is applicable to salary. The employer contribution is based on gross pay. So, you know, that's the design of the scheme.
Let me see. The pension payment will be taken after tax from salaries, and you'll get taxed when receiving it. So it's a double tax. That's not as good as a private pension.
Well, no, it's based on gross pay, Greg. So okay. The contribution, the 1.5%, is based on gross pay.
I think the bottom line here is, and I'll talk about me personally because it might be easier to do that. The reality is if I get to retirement age, there will be a massive cliff edge because I've made no provision by way of a pension. There has to be some system to try and close that gap. You know, I'm not saying this is perfect or what have you, and I know there can be quite a bit of cynicism in it, but I think the thinking behind it is sound in that, you know, we need to bridge the gap between our working income and our pension income. And I know people might say, well, what's the PRSI for if we have to do this, that and that? But this is where we're at the moment. It might not be a sexy thing, but there are people like me that, if I'm not going to voluntarily close this gap, that I need to be sort of kicked up the arse to do it.
Well, look, there's lots of reasons people don't do it. They're under pressure. There's never a good time to do this. Equally, look, pensions are confusing, and I've always made that point. None of us like to talk about it. There's also the overall issue, Greg. At the moment, we have four workers in the country for every two people. We have four workers for every person over the age of 65. We're going to have two by the time of 2050. The state pension will continue to be the bedrock of our pension system. I want to be absolutely certain on that and give people assurances on that. But as I said, that's around 16,500 a year based on January 26 rates. Mm. So, you know, I think you've captured pretty well there. That is a big cliff edge for any person to take from their daily working wage. Mm. My Future Fund will go part of the way. It's a cushion towards that cliff edge. And if we can begin to address all our personal challenges in terms of retirement income, then we'd also address the national challenge collectively.
One final question here. Obviously, if someone pays in for this 5, 10, 15 years and very sadly they pass away, what happens to their contribution?
That's the important thing about this, Greg. This is your money. So this is Greg's money. This will be Dara's money. So that then becomes, in that unfortunate situation, that becomes part of your estate, and it will be distributed accordingly.
Is there any guaranteed return on this? I mean, pensions is about sort of gathering up the money and investing it, isn't it? And there's various levels of risk you can take. Some people split it and all that type of stuff. So this caller says, I paid into a private pension about 15 years ago. It was all lost, so stopped paying into it. What guarantees, if any, will we have of a return on this one?
So at this point, it's too early to say that. But we have three of the leading investment providers in the world tendered to give us the investment part of my future fund. That's Irish Life, Amundi and BlackRock. They then will be putting the various options together. And exactly, Greg, as you just said there, the options can be defined as high risk, medium risk and low risk. And as people go further on and get older, they can move from high to medium, from medium to low. They can begin where they want to make that call themselves. Because just to reiterate the point, this isn't going to be government money. It's not going to be state money. You will be able to, on the My Future Fund app, there'll be an app that has your details. So Greg will have an app on My Future Fund. You will be able to see where your money is going. You will be able to see how it's being invested. You will be able to see how it is growing. And then you have the that information will be very visible to you, will be very accessible to you, and you'll be able to make changes to make sure you're getting the best return possible that's suited to your stage in life.
And just finally, because there was some confusion even in the office here, this is auto enrolment. After a certain amount of time, you can opt out and you will receive your money back, but you will again be auto enrolled every couple of years. Oh, just clarify that for me.
Yes, you can opt out and you receive your own contributions back. The rest of the pot, your employer's contributions and the government contribution are left there for you. And then you're opted back in after 2 years again. Because, you know, it is important that we try and get people into the habit of saving, that we try and ensure that people appreciate the challenges they're going to face. This isn't going to be the absolute solution of all solutions, but it's going to be a very, very strong cushion. Mm. And I think My Future Fund is going to be a very, very important part of people's retirement. I want it to become as easy for people to understand as possible, Greg. And that is why the app is going to be important. But we'll also, and as NERSA bed in, they'll also be making provision for people who are not IT, who don't have access to IT as well.
Very finally, what about the self-employed? Often they can feel left behind, although there has been some improvement in it in relation to, you know, sick pay or whatever it might be. Not sick pay, but sick benefits and things like that. What about the self-employed? We've got a lot of, you know, one or two operators in and around this region like anywhere else in the country.
So as we open it and as we launch My Future Fund, the self-employed aren't immediately going to be part of it. Our focus is on those 750,000 workers initially. But in time, as My Future Fund expands, and the experience, Greg, in countries around the world is that a product is put in place for people who are self-employed. And I'm very conscious, and I'm very much with you on that one, that we need to look after the self-employed more. We need to, the one and two and three person operation needs to get more support. Ultimately, that will be a matter for NERSA. But that's certainly something, as Minister for Social Protection, I want to increase the supports for self-employed. And one of those will be working to ensure that we get access for self-employed to My Future Fund.
All right, thanks for your time this morning. I do appreciate it. That's Minister Dara Colliery, Minister for Social Protection, Rural and Community Development, and the Gael talked. I'm still sort of trying to get my head around all of that. I do know, though, that many of us, and I count myself among them, really don't have a plan. And if this gets us thinking or talking about it, maybe it's a good thing. That being said, I do wonder how much more can small businesses take facing into this expense as well on top of everything else. You know, we've had extended sick entitlements, maternity, paternity, minimum wage, you know, and if the truth be told, you know, this is kind of a what some might see as a sexy government, a sexy scheme from the government, but it is the employer and the worker that are stumping up the €6. Let's use that as an example. And it's the state then that would be topping up that by one. So interested in hearing more of the views of you, the employers out there as well. Obviously, it's positive that Tata Consultancy Services is administrating it. It's being handled out of the offices in Letterkenny. So a great deal of employment there. Vincent Cranley is the Vacant Homes Officer, Community Development and Planning Services with Donegal County Council. Thanks for calling in to us. How are you getting on?
Very good, Greg. Thanks for having me.
You've one of the easier jobs in the council, not in terms of the amount of work you do, right? But in terms of coming on the media and chatting about it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I know, you know, it is a fantastic scheme and I'm very fortunate to be part of that section delivering it. We have a great team there in place.
There's been a huge uptake in Donegal, hasn't there? I was saying, I've often said this, it must be one of the greatest contributors to bringing, you know, houses back into use.
Absolutely. I think it's actually now been recognised as one of the main contributors in doing that. We have, as you rightly say, we've had a massive uptake in Donegal. We have over 1,400 applications. And the great thing now is, you know, you're actually starting to see the fruits of that on the ground. We've about 360 houses now complete and back into use and people living in those houses again. So, you know, that's the win at the end of it.
And because of you and your team, yous have been, you know, yous are very hands-on, so the money comes when the money needs to come, if you know what I mean. It's not like, you know, sometimes these things can be very arduous, but I think yous are trying to keep it working as to its optimum.
Absolutely. And my boss, Patricia McIntyre, that was her focus from the outset, that we engage very much with the public on this. We assist them every way we can to get them through the process, you know, as timely a fashion as possible. But also on the flip side of that, because it is a receipts-based scheme, we know they have outlaid the money and we're keen to get it back to them again as quickly as we can.
Where do we stand in the country? Are we top of the table? We can't be too far off it.
Top of the table still currently, have been for a while now. There's two or three counties, ourselves, Cork County and Mayo, are all featuring very highly, but at the minute we're still top of the pile.
Good stuff, keep it at it. And, but this is only part of the work that you do, and I know there are a series of sessions coming up right across the county to talk about the various initiatives and funds that are available to assist people in terms of housing. So we've talked about the vacant stroke derelict property grant, okay? That catches what we've just been talking about. What other supports are there?
So this really spurned from, we would have held a number of events over the last couple of years, 52 in total, to promote solely the vacant property grant. But then we field a lot of questions from the public coming to those, looking for more information on the different schemes and initiatives that are out there. So a decision was taken at senior management level, in fairness, in the council, to maybe portray more of what is available to people. You know, you can anybody can walk into their public service centre and get this information at a desk, but it's not known to maybe everybody out there what is available. So the idea here really was to have representatives there from the housing section, the planning section, the waste and environment section. Also we have the Northwest Energy Agency, so they'll come and talk with the SEEA grants. So it really is an umbrella approach to publicise what supports are there for people.
And the supports are quite broad, to the point whereby if it's not you directly, it may well be someone close to you, because we've talked there about the vacant home grants, but there's adapted homes for people with mobility needs, improving homes for older people, and improving the energy efficiency of homes. So there's lots in there, isn't there? The grants that I'm actually talking about are the Vacant Property Refurbishment Grant Scheme, Housing Aid for Older People Grant, Housing Adaptation Grant for Disabled People, Mobility Aids Grant, Local Authority Home Loans, the DCB Grant Scheme, of course, and the Septic Tank Grant Scheme. So there's a lot in there. That's some of it. Is it all designed as to be as easily accessible and understandable as, say, for instance, the Derelict Properties Grant?
I suppose the idea of this really is to have the people that are administering those grants available to the public at each of these information sessions. So like everybody has individual questions, you know, and where you can publish information, it may not necessarily answer their specific question. So the idea here is to have those present, that they can take their individual question. They could come maybe with the idea of seeking one particular support, but then when they get into the room and they, you know, they become aware of what else is available, and there may be available more than one also, which is important to say, that they're getting targeted information and they're going away then with the correct information, not depending on maybe others or social media to give them the wrong message.
Yeah, and of course too, you know, some of this is grants, some of it you have to fork up some cash yourself, and I think it's interesting that local banks and credit unions will be there, where people can sort of tease out, you know, their ability to bridge, the clawback on certain schemes, etc., you know, be it improving the insulation in a property or what have you, you know, to have an understanding of the numbers there and then.
Definitely. And one of the biggest things that we take back from any information sessions we've ever attended is that, you know, people have the property, they have the dream maybe, they have, you know, the will to do it, but getting access to finance has very often been the barrier. So that's why we were very keen to try and bring the financial institutions, the credit unions, on board with us in this. Now, we extended invitation to every institution in the county, told them the dates that they're on, told them we'd have tables there for them, and we've had a positive response from that, so we look forward to welcome there also.
Yeah, and in fairness, there's quite a lot goes on in terms of grants for older people to improve their homes and make them more comfortable and warmer. A lot of people have benefited from that, and just to put a number on it for you, Donegal County Council has paid out an average of 600 grants per year, covering some of the stuff that we've been talking about. And this year, they expect to pay €5 million out, which is it's a significant sum. And that's just in relation to these, you know, the adaptation grants that we're talking about.
Yes, that's correct. And the most recent budget actually provided an increase in the amount being paid out, you know, reflecting the increased costs and works and things like that now. So It is a vital support to a lot of people. You know, it's life-changing. That's really what those supports are.
You talked about some of the schemes that people may not be aware of. The Find Me a Home in Donegal scheme is an interesting one. I'm not sure if this is under your direct control. And it matchmakes owners of vacant properties with those seeking to purchase vacant properties. That's an interesting one. I'm not sure how big the uptake in that might be, because there's other ways people can sort of sell houses and stuff, but it's an interesting one.
It's an interesting one, and the idea behind it, and it is administered by our team, all right, is that, excuse me, we maintain two lists of people, those that are seeking a property in a specific area, but also those that are looking to have a property put on the market, we'll say, for sale. So they may have no intention of doing something with themselves, and they're thinking, well, listen, here's somebody else might do it. Like we're not auctioneers. All we're trying to do is put people in touch with others.
It's a database almost.
It's creating a conduit really for between the two. And everybody is acutely aware of vacant and derelict properties. And thankfully, with the uptake of the vacant property forestry grant, they're going down. They're going definitely going the right direction. But the idea of the Find Me Home scheme really is to try and expand out the catchment really and encourage others maybe that have properties to make them available to those, because the list, as you can imagine, of those seeking the properties is far greater than those that have the properties.
And another scheme that we heard of some time ago, but not very often, is the repair and lease scheme. So what is that scheme?
So the repair and lease scheme is a loan as opposed to a grant.
Yeah.
So it's a repayable loan over a defined period. So that is for people that would have properties that the council may have an interest in acquiring for a defined period of time, and they will take a tenancy of the property and pay the owner an agreed rent. Now, there's up to €80,000 per unit available under the repair and lease scheme, and there can be multiple units within the one property. It does have to be a property that matches the requirements of, let's say, those that are on the social housing list for the council. So there's a lot of groundwork to do to get it to the point. But again, coming forward, talking about, if you have properties available, come and speak to those that are my colleagues in the housing section that administer the repair and lease scheme. But tell them, what properties you have and what your ideas maybe are for it.
All right, I'm just going to read out where these meetings are taking place. So the events will run from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. and will include a presentation on the vacant property refurbishment grant, starting at 4:30 p.m. So on Tuesday the 18th of November, between 4 and 7 p.m. in the Carndonagh Public Services Centre, in Letterkenny on Thursday the 20th of November at the Letterkenny Public Services Centre, Donegal Town on Monday the 24th, the Donegal Town Public Services Centre, on Clonleah on Thursday the 27th, between 4 and 7 p.m. That's in the Dunlow Public Services Centre. And Ballybface Drenawler on Monday the 1st of December between 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. Right, a caller says, we've been waiting 2 months on a grant. It's been a very slow process, so we had to ring Dublin to move it along. What happened to the 1 or 2 week turnaround? I'm now in week six of waiting. Our builder is waiting to get paid. For now, he's been patient, but how long will it last? I'm not sure. I've been told to take out a loan. That's not possible for us.
That would be a fairly exceptional case now, in fairness. What I would say, maybe without knowing the specifics of it, we do have to check tax clearances for the tradespeople used. Now, tax clearance is a fluid situation. It can change from month to month. If they're not coming up as cleared, well, then we can't proceed to issue payment until at such time as it would be. That may not be the issue in this case, but I would welcome that person to maybe get in contact with me directly, and I'll see, can I help them out?
Yeah, because given the normal pattern, if there are any delays, it can often be in that space.
Very often that is usually the issue.
There's a council house vacant beside me for near 30 years and the council still owns it. I mean, that's very specific.
I'm not
putting on the spot on that one. I mean, because it's one house and it's one person's testimony there. And I'm not doubting it for a second, but everything isn't always as it might seem. Right, so I've almost asked you questions about the auto-enrollment pension. I wouldn't put you through that. In relation to just a couple of points, because I get asked this quite a while, we'll just go back, if you don't mind, to there was a review of the scheme, the vacant property scheme. There was some suggestion maybe of stage payments or increases, and I think it was last April or something that was due to be concluded. I take it we've heard nothing since?
No, it is something we're eagerly awaiting, the update of that review. I know the findings are sitting with the minister currently, so the change of government, I suppose, did delay that publication. But one thing that did change, I suppose, was that the scheme was due to end at the end of 2025, next month, and that has been extended to 2030. So that may give some people a little bit of solace to know that it's not going away anytime soon. It is working, so we're keen to see for it to keep working. There are different mutants, about you know, what the changes may be, there is definitely coming further incentives to promote the vacant above the shop units.
Yeah, I saw that, right? Yeah.
That's a big one, because that's kind of the blight in a lot of towns, really. So that's going to be one of the big ones and first to be delivered, I would imagine. I think these changes are going to come in incrementally. I don't think it's going to be one clean sweep. It seems to be kind of the way things are moving.
Not really, you're in a position to talk about this as an employee of the council, but it is a very relatively cheap way for the state to deliver housing. It's not going to be the solution to any housing crises, and it can't be for everyone. But I mean, in terms of in cost to the state, how much a house is being delivered for, it's really good value. There's not much out there like it, right?
It's definitely a win-win situation, you know. And what we would find on the ground is we would have an awful lot of younger couples, you know, that see this really as their only avenue to gaining a home, you know. And that's the real reward for us as a team, and seeing that and hearing the stories and the feedback. And, you know, thank you cards coming in the post, you know. So when you get them coming, you know you're doing something right, you know.
You don't see it too often. Okay, listen, thanks for that. We'll post the times, dates and venues again for these public information afternoon stroke evenings. And there's a lot of information there in relation to not just the vacant property refurbishment grant, but housing aids for older people grant, housing adaptation grant for disabled people, the mobility aids grant, the local authority home loans, defective concrete blocks grant schemes, and septic tank grant schemes. It's across venues, across the various municipal districts, towards the end of November and into December. But for now, Vincent, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Greg.
That's Vincent Cranley, Vacant Homes Officer, Community Development and Planning Services with Donegal County Council. Good morning, Greg. I just want to say my daughter and two grandchildren were in Letterkenny yesterday. I was a bit worried about the Port roundabout, but not a bother. We went to Penny's, and as I have mobility issues, a beautiful young employee of Penny's took the time to help me with my purchase. We then went to Dunn's, round the Port roundabout again. Not a bother, lol. We had a great day, but it was cold in Letterkenny. So fair play to the staff member in Penny's for going out and helping there. And they had a nice experience in Dunn's. And that was yesterday. So a bit of good news there. A caller says, rewater in Buncrana. The Eddie Fullerton Dam is connected to Letterkenny. Why is Buncrana not benefiting from that dam? I think the problems at the moment aren't in terms of the amount of water. It's actually water delivery, if you know what I mean. So things not quite as simple as they always seem. And a quick birthday request. Danny McDermott's in Rafo. Happy birthday, Danny, from all your friends and family at home and abroad. They want us to play Danny Boy. We don't get a chance to play music, but I'm sure it'll be picked up later on during the day here on Highland Radio.